That praise and worship, I have our brother Sean Sprague, who has a desire to serve God and to bring you the message that has been laid upon his heart. And so I would ask for him your prayers, your attention, and your smiles. Sean.
Thank you. And good morning. I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I do thank you very much for coming out today. I know a lot of you probably could have gone hunting, but I'm glad you're here. I appreciate it. This morning we're going to talk about foundations. We're going to talk about God. Sometimes when we'd get done with church when our girls were little, and we'd ask them, well, what did you talk about in Sunday school today? And they'd say, Jesus. And, well, was there anything else? God. You know, so we would kind of quiz them. And finally we would be able to bend their mind back around to what they actually were studying in class, and it would come out. But, yeah, Jesus, God, that was always a safe answer for what you learn about in Sunday school today. And, well, hopefully, even though we're going to be talking about God and Jesus, that's not all that you're going to get out about it, is that he talked about God and Jesus. I'm hoping that God's message will come across. So we're going to talk about Jehovah. We're going to talk about foundations. We're going to talk about cornerstones. We're going to talk about a small little white stone. And we're going to talk about what type of foundation we need to have. For the past, I'd say 2 weeks, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and a song would be running through my head. And it was always that part of the song where it says, Jehovah reigns, you know. I'd wake up and that's what would be going through my head. In the middle of the night, I'd wake up and it'd be going through my head. And I'd wake up in the morning and it's still going through my head for the past 2 weeks. It was always Jehovah reigns. And that's one of the things that he wants us to understand. He's in charge. He's in charge of all of this. And no matter how smart I think I am, or how wise I try and act, I am no good at being in charge. But he is. And I'm very thankful. Okay. There was a man a long, long time ago that was trying to figure out what it was that God wanted him to do. And he prayed and he asked, and God sent him on a journey. And the thing that he did was that he looked for a city which hath foundations. And that's a quote. That's a quote out of the Bible. The man that looked for the city that had foundations, he wasn't looking for just any physical city. He was looking for a place where God was worshiped, where people believed in God. He was looking for a place that God reigned, where God was in control. That's where he wanted to live. The man's name was Abraham. And in the 11th chapter of Hebrews is where we will read about it. He didn't just run out into the desert willy-nilly and you know, saying, oh, I'll go here, I'll go there, and relying upon himself. No, he had a plan. He did it a certain way. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, in the 8th verse is where it starts. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went, but he did it by faith. That's how he started. It was through faith. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, he was looking for that place that had this firm foundation, whose builder and maker was God. I remember a long time ago, goodness, must have been 36 years ago, because I am 52. Yeah, I was about 16, 17 years old, and I went on a young people's outing. We went down to South Missouri, and we were at, I don't know where we were, it was someplace with Marlene and them, and it was one of their properties down there. There was a creek. There was, I think, a church, but I'm not quite sure. But we stayed there, and we had a weekend. And we had a campfire one night, and I remember Randy Sheldon was there, and he was talking to us, and he was talking about our faith and how strong our faith needed to be, and how when we come together as a family of God, that it helps our faith to grow. And he was talking about this fire that was going and the embers and the coals and everything. And you could see it was a beautiful fire. The coals were all glowing red and it was very pretty. And it was warm and it felt good. But there were some embers that had been knocked out of the fire. And they weren't glowing anymore. They were actually cold. And they looked dead. And he was talking about that. And he said, you can't take a coal out of that fire and just put it out away from everyone else and expect it to still glow and to still produce heat. He said, it's got to be put back into the fire. And that's true. That's why we come together. That's one of the reasons that we come together, is to get that fire glowing again. But he found a rock. It's a pretty good sized rock. It was about this big. And he took that rock. He said, this rock represents our foundation. He says, it's got to be strong. And this was a rock that actually had been used as a foundation of one of the buildings there, but was in a pile with some others and after the building had been torn down. And he picked this rock up and he says, and he put it in the fire, and he says, and he says, this rock can withstand the fire. And yeah, it could. It wasn't going to get burned up. And so we're looking at it and everything, and I was thinking about that rock. And went to bed that night, and we were sleeping out in the yard. And we got up in the morning, and I walked over to the fire, and there was a little bit of smoke coming up. And I looked at that rock, and lo and behold, that rock had cracked right in two. And I was amazed. It's like, oh, man, Randy's rock cracked right in two. What's this? This is supposed to be the solid rock. And lo and behold, it's not the right rock. It was a rock that was made for a foundation of a little building there, but that rock was cut out by the hands of man. And yeah, it broke in two. Randy came out and he's looking at it and he saw it and he's like, And I don't know what went through his mind, but I imagine he was thinking kind of the same thing. Why'd that rock break in two? God, what are you telling me? And I'm pretty sure Randy got the same message. Don't build your foundation where your cornerstone is hewn out by the hands of man. You got to build your foundation with one rock only that starts the cornerstone. That cornerstone is Jesus Christ. That cornerstone will never crack. It will never break. My wife always tells me when I'm getting ready to start a baptism class for the new people, she says, you've got to make sure, Sean, that they understand they have to be strongly founded in God. If you don't make sure they understand their foundation, she said, they won't make it. They will not last till the end. You've got to make sure, Sean, that they're founded in God, that they understand that Jesus Christ is their foundation and what it is he wants them to do. Make sure they understand that. And I always say, I try. I'm doing it, you know, the best that I can. And but she's always there, you know, make sure. You know, she's doing her job. So, Jehovah reigns. And Abraham looked for the city that had this foundation that was founded on God, the maker and the builder. There are a lot of people that try and build stuff. And I talked to some of you a couple weeks ago at a prayer meeting about the foundations. And in Luke, the 6th chapter of Luke, we're going to read a little bit. Starting at verse 46, it says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will shew you to whom he is like." Do you all know what he said? Do we understand what he said to do? And if you do understand it, what he's asking you here is, why are you calling me God if you're not doing it? Because it says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will shew you to whom he is like." If you do what I said, if you're willing to keep my commandments, then you will be like this man. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately fell. It fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Choose the right rock. Choose the right foundation. Make sure that your house is planted in the right spot. That spot is Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone. There was a lot of people way back then that thought that they had it all figured out, and they thought that they knew what they were doing. Let's turn to Matthew, and we'll read about them and about us. 21st chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to start, I'll start at the 33rd verse. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And he says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to an husbandman and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Now the husbandmen, these are the guys that are supposed to be, that have been appointed to take care of the vineyard. They're the ones that are supposed to be making sure no weeds grow up, things are going well, the vines are pruned, and everything's been given fertilizer so it will grow correctly, and the earth is good. But they weren't exactly doing the will of the owner of the vineyard, because he would send his servants in, and these guys would kill him. These husbandmen, they would kill him. They would beat him. They would stone him. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, "They will reverence my son." But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? So he's telling this to a group of these, quote, husbandmen, but they don't realize it. He's talking to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees and to the priests, the rabbis, and they're not quite getting it. They don't understand. He's talking about them, that they are the husbandmen. So he asks them, what is the Lord of the vineyard going to do to these husbandmen when he cometh? And they said, they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which will render him the fruits in their seasons. And so these guys, these husbandmen, are telling him, well, this, the Lord is going to come and he's going to wipe out these evil doers. He's going to kill them. And they don't understand that they're talking about themselves, because they're built on the wrong foundation. So Jesus said unto them, "Did ye never read in the scriptures the stone, which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone," the stone that starts the corner of the foundation, "shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." A lot of us understand that, that Jesus Christ is this cornerstone, and that if we fall on him, we'll be broken. But if we don't, then when the stone, which is Jesus Christ, falls on us, we're going to be ground to powder, to dust. We will become nothing. We have to start with Jesus Christ and his teachings. He says in, let's see, it's in the Book of Mormon, page 628. And I'm going to start up at the 41st verse up at the top of the page. And this is God speaking to the people after he has been crucified and resurrected, and he's getting ready to appear here on the land, here in the Americas. And there has been all kinds of things going wrong in the past 3 days at this point in time. Earthquakes, floods, volcanoes, cities being buried by mud, people dying, fires, horrible, horrible storms, all of it in pitch black darkness. And this voice says to the people that live through all of this, it says, O all ye that are spared because ye were more righteous than they, will ye not now return unto me and repent of your sins and be converted that I may heal you? Yea, verily I say unto you, if ye will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive, and blessed are they which cometh unto me. Do you hear my sayings? Do you do them? Are you willing? I'm extending my arm out towards you, saying, come, I will heal you. Are you willing? This is the cornerstone speaking. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father and the Father in me, and in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own and my own received me not. No, they killed him because he was the son of the Lord of the vineyard. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God. And even so will I to as many as shall believe on my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh, and in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And here we go. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, and ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit, because now you have fallen upon the stone, the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. That's how you're broken. You break when you fall on him and decide to do his will and not yours anymore. Just like Abraham, when he asked God, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Where do you want me to go so that I may worship you the way you want me to? Tell me what you want me to do. And he said, Abraham, go out into the desert, into the wilderness. I've got a place for you. And Abraham had to say, okay. I will rely on you. I will have faith on you. Because you've told me to do this, I will go do it. He didn't know where he was going. He just knew that he had to go to this place and that God would lead him there. And that it was going to be a place for him and his children and his children's children forever. But he had to do it by faith. He didn't know where it was. He'd never seen it before. I doubt that he'd ever left town more than a couple miles or kilometers in all of his life. But there he went. Went all the way from somewhere in the middle of Iraq all the way over to Israel. In the wilderness. But he had to do it by faith. Never seen it before. That's faith. Relying upon God's word, trusting in him, having never ever seen evidence, physical evidence, that what he's telling you to do is going to work. A lot of times in this world, Satan does everything that he can to make us think that it's not going to work. To make us think that God's not in charge. To make us think that maybe God has forgotten us. Satan does whatever he can to convince us to just give up. He He makes us sick. He takes away our finances. He destroys homes. All these things happen to see if we'll turn away from God. And God has to allow Satan to do this so that we can be tested. So that he can say in the end, yeah, Satan, you tried your best to get my people to turn away from me. You did everything possible to them to get them to turn away from me. And they didn't turn away. They remained steadfast in their faith because they were founded upon that right rock, the true cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. That's the rock that we have to fall on. It says, whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, excuse me, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for of such is the kingdom of God. Behold, for such I have laid down my life, and have taken it up again. Therefore, repent, and come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved. Now, I want you to think about what's going on in the world today. What's going on with our country? Okay? We all remember 9/11. We all remember how when that happened, all of the United States basically fell to their knees and started praying to God. I mean, they said that at that time, churches were fuller than they had ever been at any other point in the history of the United States. Everybody was at church that next Sunday. And we were all praying as a nation. Unfortunately, they said it lasted about 3 weeks. And then things got in the way. Football, whatever, picnics, hunting, school clothes needed to be bought. We all found reasons not to go to church anymore. And so we stopped as a nation in 3 weeks' time, remembering who our God was, and started replacing it with other things. Man-made cornerstones. Man-made foundations. Over the next decade, things happened here in the United States. We've had hurricanes, fires, droughts, and in all of those things that were really big, whole towns were leveled out. Look at Joplin, New Orleans, most of the middle and western United States, even some of the southeast of the United States suffered major droughts this summer. Did you hear anything in the news about all of the United States going back to church? Like we did in 9/11? No. The last big hurricane that hit the United States hit in New Jersey. Do you happen to know what state has more people living in per square mile than any other state? It's New Jersey. New Jersey is the most densely populated state in the United States, cram-packed full of Americans. They got hit by a big hurricane. Then they got hit by an earthquake. And then they got hit by another storm, all within 3 or 4 days. Did you hear anything in the news about all of the state of New Jersey or that area of the United States or even the whole United States going back to church and asking God to please protect us? No. What do we do? Well, FEMA will do it. You know, we can send a whole bunch of men in there and we can rebuild it and we can do this and we can do that and we can fix it because we're Americans and we have the might and the know-how and all of that. Have you heard anybody saying, let's all get down and pray? No. Why? Where's our foundation? Where's our belief? What do we believe in? Well, most of us believe in the United States. And not God, unfortunately. No one wants to believe what it says in these books. Because these books say, I am God. You better do what I say. Otherwise, you will be destroyed. You better stop your adultery. You better stop your homosexuality. You better stop your lying, your multiple lusts. You better stop doing all of these things, or I'm going to destroy you. No one wants to believe that's what it says. But that's what it says. You better stop doing all these things and start believing in Jesus Christ or you're going to be destroyed. He is Jehovah, the Lord God, creator of all things, the Alpha and Omega. And if you don't believe that, you're not going to make it. You have to believe. In the book of Revelations, chapter 2, there's a little verse. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to find it. Oh, there it is. I'm going to start at the 12th verse of chapter 2. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. If you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, there are certain things that you have to do. Most of it was right there in the Book of Mormon where we read about having a broken heart and a contrite spirit, repenting of your sins, being baptized, taking upon us the name of Jesus Christ, that little name written in that white stone. If you have that, that is your passport into heaven. If you have that stone, that foundation written in your hearts, with that name, you'll make it. You'll get into heaven. A long time ago, my wife had a dream. And in this dream, she said that her and I were sent to Mexico after this great big storm hit. And she said it was down in the southern area of Mexico. And she said, we got to this town, and the town had been just obliterated. And there was trash just thrown everywhere from the destruction. It was just a mess. There were no houses left standing. And she said that our job was to go in and to build houses for these people. And she said they weren't supposed to be just any house, and they weren't supposed to be like they were before. These houses, she said, had a specific purpose, and the purpose was to withstand the storm so they'd never be destroyed again. And she said the most amazing thing about the house was the foundation. Said it was a specific type of foundation, and because it was different than any other foundation that people had built their houses on before, this foundation was made to withstand any storm. And so we taught the people how to build this foundation. And because of that, their city was never destroyed again, ever, no matter what storm came up, no matter how big it was. But that was our job. We were supposed to teach them how to build this house with a specific storm-proof foundation. And she woke up and she told me about the dream, and we discussed it. And we were wondering, well, maybe we're supposed to go down and build houses down there and teach the people how to build really good houses and bring our whole family down there, and maybe that's how the Denham family will go back to work. Well, no. We figured it out. It's got more of a spiritual meaning than a physical meaning. Yeah, we're supposed to teach this foundation to them and everyone else. So that was one dream. There was another dream, and this dream's going to happen. Both of these dreams will happen, but this one's going to happen to where everybody's going to see it. This dream was a dream that I had. And in this dream, my wife and my two daughters and I were in a car and we're driving down a country road. It's fall, winter. There were no more trees or leaves left on the trees. The trees were barren. So it was the end of the growing. And we're driving down the road and I looked over to my left and I could see a field with trees along the road in this big field. And in the field, it was just full of geese. And I'm pretty sure that I've told most of you this before. But there was hundreds of thousands of geese in this field. And I told my wife and daughters, I said, look at that, man, look at all those geese. And when I said that, they all flew up into the air at once. And it was just full of geese everywhere. And we're like, wow. As far as you could see, up and down the road were geese coming up off the field. And they all flew up way up above the trees. And they got up into the sky and they formed words. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of words. One right after the other in a line in the sky. As far as you could see that way. And I looked in my side mirror and as far as I could see behind me were words written by these geese in the sky. And each word meant the same thing. But they were in all different languages. It was Jehovah, Jesus Christ, Jesucristo. Letters that I don't even recognize in foreign languages that I don't know how to pronounce. But they were all the same. Emmanuel. I recognize some of them. But as far as you could see through the whole earth, in every language, he was being proclaimed king. I saw it. My wife saw it, and my daughter saw it. All at the same time. And everywhere on earth, you could see it being done. At the same time, In every language, he was being proclaimed king of all the earth. It's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. I will see it, my wife will see it, and my daughters will see it all at the same time. So it means there's not a lot of time left. It's going to happen. Are you going to have that name written on that little white stone in your heart? Is your foundation going to have the name of Jesus Christ written on the cornerstone? Or is it going to be a stone hewn out by the hands of man with someone else's name on it that will crack and crumble and be destroyed when the fires come? The 83rd Psalm And I think I'll just read the whole thing. It says, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, Jebal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin, at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmane, who said, Let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. O my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth." Very soon we will know, all of us, who he is for sure. Everyone on this planet will know. But only those who have his name written on that stone in their heart will survive. This is the foundation that we all have to have. Faith like Abraham in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Being steadfast and sure. Not turning this way or that way wherever the world says, oh, come here, come there, do this, whatever, it doesn't matter. But sure and steadfast, firm. Relying upon him in all things. Turning to him in times of trial and turning to him with thanksgiving in times of bounty. This is the foundation that we have to have in order to survive the storm that's coming. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. I would ask that you get a bulletin if you have not already. You might notice on the front, our pastor has a number of scriptures on trusting in the Lord. And as Sean talked about faith, trust is faith in action. If you will now, there is possibility that the schedule will be changed this afternoon. It says that there will be a fellowship dinner following this service.